Kiddushin Yerushalmi, Kos Vein to Kiddushin Bavli, Daf Chav Zayin. We begin in the Yerushalmi and Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, four lines from the bottom. Rabbi Yassa b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yassa quoting Rabbi Yochanan said, Hayolai shtei sadois, achas b'Yehuda v'achas b'Galil. If a person owned two fields, one in Yehuda and one in the Galil, hichzik b'zu sheb Yehuda, l'zchois b'zu sheb Galil, oi b'zu sheb Galil, l'zchois b'zu sheb Yehuda, kona, v'nichzei ager l'kona afilu meitza b'ntayim. If a buyer took possession of the field in Yehuda in order to acquire also the field in the Galil, or he took possession of the field in the Galil in order to also acquire the field in Yehuda, then he acquires both of them. However, if we're talking about the property of a ger, a convert who died, he has no inheritors, and now those fields become hefka, he only acquires the one he actually took possession of, even if there's only a small strip of land that separates it from the other piece of land. Rabbi Zeira bar koimi Rabbi Yassa. Rabbi Zeira asked Rabbi Yassa the following question: Niskavin iknois min ameitza. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if a person took possession of the field of a ger with intention to also acquire the strip of land next to it and the adjacent field, would he acquire all of them? Rishuam minei. Rabbi Yassa avoided giving an answer. Rav Chista amar nichse ager chsik b'sfoinam amanas l'skoyz b'droimam b'droimam amanas l'skoyz b'sfoinam lo niskavn l'knoyz b'amtsiyuson loikana ad shash yiskavn l'knoyz b'amtsiyuson. Rav Chista tells us about the property of a ger who passed away. If a person took possession of their northern side in order to also acquire the southern side, or vice versa, if he did not intend to acquire the middle section of the property, he does not acquire the field on the further side either, because there's another piece of land separating them, unless he also intends to acquire the middle section. And the Gemara says, Masnisa pliga Rav Chista. We have a Baisa that seems to disagree with the Pesach of Rav Chista. The Baisa says, Gershe meisa vizbezu yisor es nechasov, hamachzik bekalka chayev bakol. If a ger died and a Jew grabbed his property, when he takes possession of a field that contains produce that's standing, he becomes obligated in everything, means to separate all the different gifts of the poor, such as peah, or shichah, or leket, as well as taking off tumas and maisus. Hamachzik bekama, chay beleket v'shicha upeya, upotamen amaisus. If he takes possession of a field in order to acquire just the standing produce, then he's obligated in leket, in shicha, and in peya, but is exempt from tumas and from maisus. Vein ave masik ben shiboyles l'shiboyles, and the Gemara asks a question: does the air between the stalks not make a separation? Rather, we see, though, that separation between two items does not prevent making an acquisition on both of them. So this understanding of the Baisa rejects Rav Chista's din. So we now quote a Mishnah in Maseches Bava Basra, Taman Taninan, Imhaya Mechuba Lakalka, Betalas Koshu, Kona. If the flax in the field is attached to the ground, and he detached a small part of it, meaning one stalk, he's acquired all of the flax. Shmuel Amar Lekona Ela Oisa Kelach Volvad, and Shmuel says that he's only acquired that particular stalk. Vahatanan, Imhaya Mechuba Lakalka, Betalas Koshu, Kona. But didn't the Mishnah just tell us that if he just detaches one small part, he acquires all of the flax? Rav Yossi, Kaime, Rav Duma, Nechusa, Moide Shmuel, Benichse Ager. Rav Yossi, quoting Rav Duma of Nechusa, explains that Shmuel agrees in the case of the Mishnah because it involves the property of a convert that he acquires all of the field. Now Rav Yochanan raises a question. Rav Yochanan, boy, Hamataltulin Ma'u Sheyiknu Begwira. Could one acquire property, mean movable objects, by dragging, like Mashicha? Rabbi Abba bar Mamal, Masichele Ba'iris Akashim, Abba Ba'iris Arachim, Lekona Adjiagbia. Rabbi Abba Mamal explains the question of Yochanan, which is only referring to hard animal skins, because soft skins, he must certainly lift them up. Masnisa Pliga Rabbi Abba bar Mamal, we have a question against Abba bar Mamal from a Baisa. Hagoinev Kisoi Shel Chaveiroi Voitzio Beshabbos Chayev, Shekranis Chayev Beginevosoi Shel Kis, Achuloi Kidja Alav Hashabbos. If a person steals a money pouch and takes it out into the street on Shabbos, he's liable for payment because he was already liable on that payment before the Shabbos Issa came along. But if he dragged it out, he's exempt from payment because the liability for Misa of Beis Din for breaking Shabbos and the payment obligation came both at the same instant. Because we have a rule and we have a concept that when you have two different sins that were done at the exact same time, we only give the person the worst punishment. And over here, when he dragged it out, the acquisition of the pouch and taking it out into public domain all happened at the same time, so he's exempt from payment because he's chayev Mises Beis Din, he gets skila from Beis Din. But what we see clearly from this baisa is you could acquire a pouch through dragging. Amar Rav Masanya. Rav Masanya comes to deflect the proof. Tipate be'ilein kisaya rav ravaya duchehoin misgarua. We're referring here to heavy bags, heavy sacks that are not usually dragged, and that's why the kinyan occurs through dragging. The Gemara now moves on to a different topic. Minayin lamdu legilgul shua. We learnt in the Mishnah earlier that a shua made over movable objects can also bring along with it a shua about land, and this concept is called gilgul shua. So what's the source for this concept? And the Gemara answers, Misoita, Amen me'ish zeh, Amen me'ish acher. It's from the shua made by the soita, a woman who was suspected of committing adultery. The kohen forces her to accept a shua, saying that she wasn't adulterous now, and she also accepts the divine punishment if she's guilty. And she has to respond by saying, and we quote the pasuk in Bamidbar, in Perkei, in Pasuk Chof Beis, Amen, Amen, which means Amen, that she was not adulterous with this particular man under suspicion, and Amen, that she was not adulterous with another man either. And we learn from here that since she already is making an oath about one man, we can also include another shua as a response about another man, and that's the concept of Gilgul Shvua. And the Gemara asks, Akadoin Dram Shein Ru'uyim Lashbia. Dram Shein Ru'uy Lashbia. This only proves that we make a Gilgul Shvua about things that are related to the original oath. What about making a Gilgul Shvua for things that are not related? Amar B'yosi B'rabun Nishma'ina Min Hador. So B'yosi B'rabun says we can learn it from the Mishnah in Seita. Amen Shalai Setisi Arusa Unasua Shemeth Yavam Uknusa Arusa Ushmeth Yavam Roy Lashbia. Atam Megalgalin, V'hacha Megalgalin. So the Mishnah tells us, Amen, that she was not adulterous when betrothed, or when married, or when waiting to do Yibam, or after Yibam. Now, are when betrothed and when waiting to do Yibam anything relevant to the original Shavua? Rather, we include them even though they're not related, and from here we prove that you can even include unrelated things in a Gilgul Shavua. Istanai Tanai, Mazu Be'ela Ba'ala V'Shua, Afkolan Ishvayim Ba'ala V'Shua. One Baisa teaches us, just as in the case of a Soita, it's performed with a Shavua and with a curse, so to all who make a Shavua, a potential curse must be invoked. Istanai Tanaya, now a second Baisa says, Bazu Ala V'Shua, Ve'inkolan Ishvayim Ba'ala V'Shua. Although there's a Shavua and a curse over here, not all people that make a Shavua must also have a curse invoked. And the Gemara asks, Havim by Meimah Manda Ama Mazu Ba'ala V'Shua Afkolan Ishbayim Ba'ala V'Shua Nicha Manda Ama Zu Ba'ala V'Shua Ve'ein Kolan Ishbayim Ba'ala V'Shua Legigo At Lamad V'Shua Ein At Lamad. It's fine according to the one who says that we invoke a curse for all that make a Shua, but according to the one who says that it's only in the case of Soita that we invoke a curse, why do we only compare other Shuas to Soita for the din of Gilgul Shua but not for the din of invoking a curse as well? And the Gemara continues with quoting a Baisa. If Tani Tani, we have a Baisa that says, Ma'azu ba'amin va'amin, afkolan ishbayim ba'amin va'amin, just as a Soita responds with Amen Amen, so all who make a Shua have to respond with Amen Amen. And if Tani Tani, we have a different Baisa that says, Zu ba'amin va'amin, ein kolan ishbayim ba'amin va'amin. Even though a Soita has to respond with saying Amen twice, in other cases of Shua, the person making the Shua does not have to respond with a double mentioning of Amen. And the Gemara asks the question, Havibai Meima, Mandama Mazu Ba'amin of Amen, Afkolan Ishbayim Ba'amin of Amen, Nicha. Umandama Zu Ba'amin of Amen, Ve'inkolan Ishbayim Ba'amin of Amen, Klum Lamdu Legilgul Shua Elemesota, Legilgul At Lamad Lamin Amen, Iat Lamad. A similar question to before. It's fine, according to the one who says that we require a response of Amen Amen for all Shavuos. But according to the one that says that only in Sota we say Amen Amen, why do we only learn Gilgul Shua from Sota, but not this din as well? And these questions are not answered in the Gemara.